Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAI Argentina to the World in English. This is the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio, broadcasting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, on the frequency of 5800 kilohertz. You can also find our programs on our website, rai.com.ar. RAI is an international station that airs programs in 8 languages, and you can find all of them as podcasts, as well as other audio productions on our website, rai.com.ar. And we also have a YouTube channel where you can find additional content produced by us in 8 languages as well. I'm Fernando Farias, and I'm bringing you the weekly edition of the English language program of RAI that you can find, as I said, on our website, and is also aired via WRMI. If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to qslrai@gmail.com. I repeat, qslrai@gmail.com. You can send reception reports there if you are DXer, if you are a fan of shortwave listening. We reply reception reports with our digital QSL cards, and these days we continue to use our Centennial QSL card for replying reception reports, because we are marking throughout this year, 2020, the first century of radio broadcasting. The first transmission took place here in Buenos Aires back on August 27, 1920. Recently, the centennial of that very important landmark has been remembered, and as a matter of fact, we continue to mark the centennial throughout the year with various activities, one of them replying our reception reports with this special QSL card. If you want to get it, send us your reception report to qslrai@gmail.com. On this program, we're going to have a little bit of music and an interview with a British writer who's published recently a novel written here in Argentina about Scrabble and an organization, a mafia that fixes games in the Scrabble world. It's intriguing, isn't it? Well, stay tuned and listen to the talk with Daniel Tunard, who wrote the book. All right, so this weekend here in Argentina, October 12th, as in many parts of the world, the arrival of Christopher Columbus back in 1492 to the Americas is remembered. In the US, the day is marked as Columbus Day. In Spain, it's called Día de la Hispanidad, or Day of Spanish Culture, or something like that, or Spanish Identity. And here in Argentina, the day, until a little more than a decade ago, was marked as the Day of the Race, of the Spanish Race. But the name was changed to its current name. Now, October 12th, continues to be a holiday here in Argentina, but it is called the Day for the Respect of Cultural Diversity. The Day for the Respect of Cultural Diversity. And this is because for the past 3 decades, there's been a new reading, a new interpretation of the events that occurred at the end of the 15th century, when Europeans began reaching the New World. Basically, the loss of millions of Aboriginal lives and the destruction of their culture came under the spotlight. This is the interpretation that has been emphasized for the past 3 decades, especially after the fifth centennial of 1492 was marked in 1992. After that, well, a new view of the events was highlighted. Historians began to emphasize how terrible was this cultural clash, this civilization clash was for the original inhabitants of the Americas. When Europeans arrived, they brought diseases with them for which the Aboriginal peoples were not immunized to. And that's how most of them die. Millions died. The original population of the Americans of the Americas was reduced to just a fraction of what it was before 1492. Not to mention, of course, the genocide and the slavery of millions of people by the Europeans here in South America by the Spanish and the Portuguese. And this is how October 12, 1492, is remembered these days. It is a holiday. It is a day to understand, to think about this. And there are many songs that reflect on this aspect of the so-called discovery of the Americas that is remembered every October 12. Perhaps the most important that was written, and it was written around 1992, when the fifth centennial was marked. It was a big deal, the fifth centennial back in Spain, but here in the Americas, this new interpretation that I mentioned before was beginning to arise. And amid this context, a song called Cinco Siglos Igual, 5 centuries and nothing has changed, honoring the original inhabitants of the Americas, their culture, and remembering and acknowledging all of the suffering they went through, how they lost their lands, how they lost their culture, how they were pushed away from the places where they lived. The song talks about that, and it was written by Leon Gieco, but perhaps the most remembered rendition of this song, which is now an anthem.
Soledad sobre ruina, sangre en el trigo, rojo y amarillo, manantial del veneno, escudo heridas, 5 siglos igual. Desamor, desencuentro, perdón y olvido, cuerpo con mineral. Pueblos trabajadores, infancias pobres, 5 siglos igual. En esta parte de la tierra, la historia se cayó. Como se caen las piedras, aulas que tocan el cielo. O están cerca del sol, o están cerca del sol. Lealtad sobre tumbas, piedra sagrada, Dios no alcanzó a llorar. Sueño largo del mal, hijos de nadie, 5 siglos igual. Muerte contra la vida, gloria de un pueblo desaparecido. Es comienzo, es final. Y aunque muchos no están, nunca nadie pensó en besarte los pies sin cinco siglos igual.
That was Mercedes Sosa with the legendary and late Jaime Torres playing charango, that very distinctive instrument of Andean music. This is their rendition of Cinco Siglos Igual, originally written by Leon Gieco, that we play on our show this week on the occasion of a new anniversary of October 12, 1492. The day that is remembered in the US as Columbus Day, which here in Argentina is called the Day for the Respect of Cultural Diversity, which is this Monday. Okay, we don't usually do book reviews on this program in English of Rai Argentina to the World, basically because the overwhelming majority of books published or written in Argentina are in Spanish. But one notable exception this year, 2020, is a novel called Escapes, written by a British writer who lives here in Argentina, who's practically a regular of our show, Daniel Tunard, who is in Entre Ríos, in the city of Concepción del Uruguay, and I have him down the line. Hello, Daniel. How is it going?
Hello, Fernando. How are you?
The novel has three elements described in the premise that you don't usually see together: Scrabble, you know, the game, Mafia, and the Tigre Delta. Those three elements, the combination of them, at least make the premise intriguing. Why don't you give it to us in a nutshell?
Yeah. Well, this started when we were playing Scrabble in the Tigre Delta about 10 years ago with my wife, and I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if there was a novel which was based around a game of Scrabble between two people, and each word that they played at the end of the chapter would spell out part of the story that they were telling in each chapter. And then I thought, well, wouldn't it be interesting if these two people were Scrabble champions and they were on the run from the Scrabble mafia, the Scrafia, because of something that they'd done. And then it took me about 10 years to work out how to write the novel.
10 years?
No, about 8 years. I had to go and play lots of competitive Scrabble to work it out.
Well, it's basically a bit autobiographical. It's part of your interest, Scrabble.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've been playing Scrabble since I was about 7 years old, since my grandmother taught me to play. And I'd always been interested in competitive Scrabble. You know, there are Scrabble World Cups in English and French and Spanish and possibly German as well. Although the words are very long in German, of course. And so I was trying to work out how to write this novel, and I couldn't figure out what would happen. So I thought, well, what I need to do is I need to go and play some proper games of competitive Scrabble in Argentina, in Spanish, in my second language. And so I went to the Argentine Scrabble Association, who play in Palermo, at the Club Polaco. And I started playing with them, and I got really addicted. And before I knew it, I was representing Argentina in the World Cup. And I finished 13th in the World Cup, and it was wonderful. I suddenly found something that I was good at. So I put off writing the novel for years because I was really interested in Scrabble.
Well, it's very valuable, the fact that Spanish is your second language. You're representing Argentina, and Spanish is not your first language, even though you speak it practically like a native.
Yeah, it's interesting because
Daniel, in the competitions that you've been to, have you found people like you, I mean, representing their countries even though Spanish wasn't the mother language? It must be very unique.
Yeah, there's a Mexican player who's actually from England, Suzanne Stevens. She plays for Mexico. She lived in Mexico all her life. She's also a translator like me. There's also a USA team, who are mostly Colombians who live in Houston. But they also have some English speakers in their team. Also, the present world champion in Spanish is French. Serge is from Lille, and he's been playing in French and Spanish, and I think English as well, for many years, and finally he won this year. So I think he's the first non-native English speakers, although there are also Catalan speakers from Barcelona who also play in Spanish as well, but that doesn't count because that's really easy.
Okay, well, not the first in that arena, but certainly you might be among the first to write a novel involving mafia and Scrabble. This is a very original idea.
Yeah, what I wanted to do, what I think is interesting about the novel is that there are quite a few novels that mention Scrabble. The Handmaid's Tale, for example, has a very famous Scrabble scene, and that there are other films and novels where Scrabble is used as a device. But there hasn't really been a novel about actual competitive Scrabble, about Scrabble World Cups and the people who play in the highest level. And so I wanted to try and get close to that. My idea was to actually win the World Cup so I could write from that experience, but sadly that just didn't happen. It's not gonna happen.
Well, you're also setting this in an alternative world in which Scrabble is massive. There are already, as you mentioned, Scrabble World Cups, but they are not... It is not the most popular sport in the world, as you may know, but you're setting this in a fictional world in which Scrabble is on top, like together up there with football, with basketball, with boxing. Why are you doing that? I mean, you're trying to promote Scrabble, to convey, to imagine a world in which more people cared about Scrabble.
Yeah, it was basically out of a desire of my own that the game that I was playing would pay more money. the prize money for the Scrabble World Cup is like $3,000 for the winner, and you have to pay like $3,000 to play all the games to get to the final. In the US, it's a bit. I think the highest prize in World Scrabble is $50,000, but I wanted to kind of. Because there's a Scrabble Mafia involved, you're not going to get a Scrabble Mafia getting involved if there's only $3,000 up for grabs.
Of course.
And so I had to kind of invent this world where for some reason there was loads of money. So it's a bit like the Premier League, how you've got this really small-time thing and suddenly all this money comes in and completely corrupts the game. You've got cigarette money, you've got TV money, and so this makes everything go really crazy and everybody wants to play Scrabble in Spanish. It was kind of a fantasy that Scrabble in Spanish would be somehow important in the world when it really isn't.
You created this organization on the novel, the Scrafia. It is, I suppose, based on, well, other groups that rig games in other sports, I suppose. How does the Scrafia behave? What do they do? I mean, they rig games... They pay judges.
It's mostly match fixing and murdering anybody who doesn't play along. The idea. I mean, when I had the idea, I originally thought of like Joe Pesci, Al Pacino kind of mafia people. Mm-hmm. And then when I started playing competitive Scrabble, I realized that you don't really get those kind of people playing Scrabble, like burly men in shiny suits with New York accents. And most of the people you find playing Scrabble are little old ladies who are really nice and show you photographs of their grandchildren. So I thought, oh, these people have got to be my mafia. And so the mafia, the Scrafia, is made up of octogenarian Argentine triplets called the Gilbert Sisters.
Nice.
We're really cheddar from Retiro, and they kind of speak in the way that posh old Argentine women speak of mixing Spanish and English all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of different kind of mafia to what you normally find.
Of course. In this alternative world, is Argentina a powerhouse, a world power in Scrabble? I mean, the top country?
Yeah, as it is in real life, of course. Okay. Argentina is one of it's Argentina and Venezuela, Mexico and Spain are the main Spanish language powerhouses. But in this particular case, you've got one world champion who is Argentine and another world champion who is British, who plays in Spanish for Argentina. And so Argentina takes the World Cup every year over the glorious five-year period in the late 90s before everything falls apart.
Well, what do you think is the takeaway for the reader? Is it entertaining? It gets you thinking about something philosophical, if you know what I mean, or you're trying to promote Scrabble? Are you going to get people excited about starting playing Scrabble? What do you think the reader can take away from your novel Escapes that we are talking about?
I think when I'm writing, the main aim is comedy. I'm always trying to do something that's kind of not just jokes, but kind of amusing and witty and a bit clever. That's the main thing I'm trying to aim for. But also, I really wanted to kind of get more people playing Scrabble. One book that had a huge effect on me was the Stefan Fatsis book about Scrabble, which came out 20 years ago, Word Freak, which got loads of people playing competitive Scrabble. And so I thought I'd love to write a book that influenced people as well, that inspired people to go out and play competitive Scrabble and become world champion like I didn't. So that's kind of thing as well. But also, it's not just for people who like Scrabble. I think my own editor at Unnamed Press doesn't like Scrabble, and he didn't like Scrabble after he'd read my book either. But he still the book. So it's not just for people who are into Scrabble. It's a very kind of universal.
Yeah, okay, okay. Entertaining as your other books, because these are not the first books that you have written, and here in Argentina, Daniel have written a couple of non-fiction books about taking all of the buses in Buenos Aires City and all of the trains in Argentina. And I read the first, Collectivization, and it's hilarious. And I mean, it's just an anecdote that he's taking the buses of Buenos Aires. He takes the chance to describe the city, its people, its streets, with its very particular point of view, and it gets you laughing out loud several times.
You haven't read my train book, then?
I haven't read it yet, but I did read Collectivization, me and my wife, and we love it. But Escapes is your first. Is this your first novel?
It's the first novel that's been published. I've written a couple of other ones. I wrote one about Queen, but it wasn't very good. So it's nice. It's nice to finally get a novel published, because I think that's a bit harder than nonfiction. And it's really good to finally be published in English, which is my first language. What I started publishing in Spanish because it's easier to get published in Argentina to some extent. So it's really, I'm really happy to get published in English.
Well, let's plug it. Where can people find it and buy it?
Sorry?
Where can the people find the novel? I mean, is it available on Kindle, Amazon?
Yeah, it's available at the usual places, at Amazon and from your local independent bookshop. Also, if for people who are outside the US and the UK, it's available on Book Depository, which has free delivery all over the world and is very reliable, even in Argentina.
Good. Do you have a website or social media where people can find more stuff about you?
Yep, danieltuno.com.
Excellent.
And on Twitter.
Excellent. Well, Daniel, thank you very much for this contact. Last time we spoke on the show, we mentioned that you were making plans to move back to the UK, your home country, after 2 decades living here with your wife, with your Argentine wife. Maybe next time we talk, you're going to be in England. So the best of luck, and thank you very much.
I hope so. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Daniel. That was Daniel Tunar, the British writer, expatriate living here in Argentina, who recently released a novel called Escapes about Scrabble, the Scrafia, Scrabble Mafia, and the Tigre Delta here in Argentina. It's available on Amazon and other sources. You're listening to RAI, Argentina to the World. This is the international radio of Argentina. We are broadcasting this program on the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International. The frequency is 5800 kilohertz. Programs of RAI can also be found as podcasts on our website, rai.com.ar. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel, RAI Argentina to the World, RAI Argentina al Mundo. Well, we've got time to listen to one more song before signing off, and it's going to be something by songwriter Gabo Ferro, who passed away this week, very young, the age of 54, cancer. He was battling cancer. And he emerged back in the 1990s as the leader of a hardcore band called Porco that became pretty big in the underground scene of Buenos Aires. But he parted ways with Porco and started a completely different career as an artist, as a songwriter, with more acoustic songs. He started writing poetry, and this made him very, very popular in certain circles. He was very popular everywhere, and his early death came as a shock this week, and that's why we're going to be playing one of his songs before signing off, and the title suits the moment. ¿Por qué no lloras un poco? Why don't you cry a bit?
Tanto trueno, tanto rayo, las cosas que no se dicen se hacen flores de un pantano. La muerte no existe acá, todo está vivo, presente, la memoria es asesina. La muerte a la misma muerte. Desembala la memoria, que no hay cosa que nos sirva. Te va a servir lo amarrado y lo que anda a la deriva. ¿Por qué no lloras un poco? Vos que vas bailando tanto, llora bien, abrí los ojos y después seguí bailando. Podrán lloverte 100 siglos, pero ni un segundo más. La desgracia es cuidadosa, llega y se marcha puntual. No te pido que te amargues, me estás entendiendo mal. El apetito no es hambre y moverse no es bailar. Desembala la memoria, que no hay cosa que nos sirva. Te va a servir lo amarrado y lo que anda a la deriva. ¿Por qué no lloras un poco? Vos que vas bailando tanto, llora bien, abrí los ojos y después seguí bailando.
That was ¿Por qué no lloras un poco? By the late songwriter Gabo Ferro, who passed away this week at the age of 54. Why don't you cry a little bit? And with this, we come to the end of this edition of Rai Argentina to the World in English that is being made on Friday, October 9th. And you're going to be listening to it throughout next week on WRMI, Miami Radio International, on the frequency of 5800 kilohertz. I'm Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening. Hasta la próxima. Stay safe.